I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Some staggering figures from our southern border. Since the beginning of December, there have been more than 286,000 migrant encounters there. Since the new fiscal year began on October 1st, there have been more than 770,000 encounters, with more than 83,500 known gotaways, migrants seen or detected but not apprehended. So some eye-popping numbers in terms of illegal immigrants coming to the United States. Congressman Cuellar, if President Biden's watching right now, what would you tell him he needs to do?
He needs to look at the pull factor. And the pull factor right now is that as long as people are coming to the border and they feel that they're hitting a speed bump and they're being released and waiting 4, 5, 6 years for an adjudication, then they're going to keep coming. It's the pull factor. If we don't address that by addressing detention, giving them the quick hearing, and then deporting, most of them are going to be deported because asylum cases, if you look at the last 25 years, 87% are going to be rejected. So why are we allowing 100% when we ought to be looking at a smaller point? So it's the pull factor. You got to have detention and deportation.
You've got to have detention and deportation. Donald Trump has said, if I'm elected, I will, in fact, make sure that we get rid of those who are coming to this country illegally. So the point here is, catch them, don't release them, you're free to move about the country, you need to step forward and you need to do something about where we are with this country, and that is get rid of those who are here illegally. Now, how are you going to do it? That's going to be the biggest issue anyone is going to have to deal with. And of course, here's the other thing I've told you before to keep this in mind. If they are here and have a baby, that baby will have to stay. That is an anchor baby. That baby is born of our soil and is a U.S. citizen. But you were hearing Texas Congressman Gonzalez point out that, I'm sorry, Henry Cuellar saying, we've got to stop the pull factor. The pull factor is, come on, the borders are open. That's a pull factor. Come on. I mean, this is the carny outside the tent. Come in and see the bearded lady. See the five-headed boy. See the 4'3", 5 monster that you've never seen before. Whatever they can do to get you inside the tent. And that's what they're doing with this country. The tent flap is open. No admission. Just come on in. And we have just set a record for this nation for the number of illegals crossing our border with our permission, not even counting the getaways, with our permission, 300,000 in the month of December. And you have the city of New York complaining, oh, we got 70,000 to 80,000 migrants. We can't handle them. We're the city of 8 million, but we can't handle 1% more or less. But they're going to end up having to because the rest of the nation is going to suffer. And here are these Democrat congressmen that are going to have to go back to their constituency. And can they really stand there and answer questions? And by God, I hope a lot of you get into some of these hotly contested races in their primary. Do what the Democrats have been doing in some of the swing states for Trump. They're going and registering, in Pennsylvania in particular, 35,000 Democrats register as Republican so they can vote in the Republican primary. You know why? Maybe because they're tired of Biden. They want to actually make a switch. I would hope so. But there's also a game underway. If we're allowed to vote in the Republican primary, we can pick another candidate other than Trump. We can dilute his possibility of running. Democrats can do that. Republicans, you can do the same thing. You can go in and say, I'm a Democrat today. I want a Democrat primary ballot. And then you decide who goes forward or doesn't. Come the general election, both names will be on there, and then you're making a decision. You don't have to declare Republican, Independent, or Democrat in the general election. Thanks for joining us. Here is our second program of this year, January 2nd, 2024. This is the second hour of Larry Connors USA, back-to-back right here for you from 6 to 8 p.m. And reminding you, when we're on the air, we are also streaming video at Larry Connors USA, Facebook, Twitter, Rumble, at News Talk STL, Facebook, Twitter, Rumble. You miss anything, go to LarryConnorsUSA.com and pull it up, listen to it, watch it at your pleasure. I see a lot of you do that. I'm glad to have you do it. All I'm asking you to do is take one extra step, one more button, push share with somebody. I don't care who it is, if it's your best friend or your worst enemy. In fact, I'd love you to share it with your worst enemy. So there was Texas Congressman Cuellar. We got to stop the pull. We got to put an end to it if we want to stop all these people coming across. Eye-popping numbers, as he described it. Texas Congressman Tony Gonzalez says, there's what we believe in, and there's what they are violating. Here we go.
I believe in legal immigration. I believe most of America believes in legal immigration. But what we're seeing is not that. This is chaos. And so enough is enough. It's time to deport those that illegally come into the United States. And President Biden can either do that or he can watch and lose and watch the next president enforce those policies that are on the books. Hosting Speaker Johnson next week is very critical to getting House Republicans on board. I'm expecting at least 60 of my Republican colleagues to join us on that visit. We're going to be in Eagle Pass. We're going to be hearing from directly from people on the ground. These stories are going to resonate, and it's going to lead us, House Republicans, into 2024 as we try to tackle these issues.
It will lead us into 2024. We must tackle these issues. And even the Blue City Sanctuary states and cities, they recognize this is not a good idea. Not a good idea. May I remind you again, I know for those of you who listen and watch this program all the time, you might be getting tired of this, but I don't want you to get tired. I want the other side to get tired of it. If you really believe in open doors, then quit locking your door at night. Leave the door to your house, your apartment open. If you have a garage, leave it open. Let people come and go as they choose. Take whatever they want or not. Come sleep in your child's bedroom if they want. Because that is exactly what we have with an open border. It is an open door. Let them bring in drugs and pass them around among your children. Or spike the milk with it. Why not? They're doing it elsewhere in the damn nation. Why are you not going to open up your door? If you really believe in this, show me. And if you really believe in no bail, everybody gets out, and no prisons, again, offer your house as a place they can stay. You know, I have said that repeatedly for years. I have yet to see even one leftist say, okay, I'll leave my front door open. I'll leave the garage open. And they can all come stay here and come and go as they want. Not one has done that. You know why? Because it's a stupid idea. They don't have a problem with folks coming across our border, much less the getaways, and much less those bringing in children and drugs, and who knows how many terrorists have come in because they're unvetted. They don't have a problem with that. They just don't want them in literally their backyard or in their home where they're going to end up there. They will end up there. I don't know sometimes how to get the point even more stronger than what I can make it. I mean, I just want to see somebody try that and see how it blows up on them. All right, turning our attention to the Middle East, there's another border issue between Hamas and Gaza and Palestinians and Jews. I will remind you, Israel gave the Gaza Strip to the Palestinians. And that was under a group that suddenly got ousted by the Hamas. And then they started building their terrorist network and then decided to carry out the October 7 attack. Well, now all of those, Hamas, Hezbollah, all of them are under the umbrella as proxy agents, the Houthi rebels, under Iran, which is also under China. Now, in the Middle East, Iran is stepping up with a show of force in the Red Sea.
And an Iranian warship has reportedly entered the Red Sea, putting global trade in that region at risk. The move comes just after the U.S. sank three Houthi boats that were attacking merchant ships over the weekend.
We've got significant national security interests in the region just on our own, the United States, and we're going to put the kind of forces we need in the region to protect those interests, and we're going to act in self-defense going forward.
That is a report that included John Kirby. Now, I want you to listen to Robert Charles. He is the Assistant Secretary of State under George W. Bush.
I think this is not unexpected. Iran has been escalating things in this region for a matter of weeks, actually a couple of months. And I think we just have to be, as your spokesman or as the Biden spokesman just said, you have to be on really alert. I think what Iran is doing is they're very opportunistic. I mean, they support all the terrorist groups in the region. They historically in the 80s were a force for no good in the Persian Gulf. They mined the Persian Gulf and they created a havoc where Reagan ended up having to take out half their navy. But right now in the Red Sea, you've got a lot of terror. I mean, you've got basically the Houthi rebels that are entirely supported by Iran, having launched 15 attacks on commercial vessels there. So this doesn't help. Having said that, the real reason I think they did it is that the Gerald Ford carrier strike group is headed back for Norfolk right now. Having said that, the Eisenhower carrier strike group is right there in the Med, and they have nine fighter squadrons, and I think Iran would be foolhardy to do anything right now. I mean, honestly, they may think, I mean, they're playing right up to the line, but they may think they could do something and get away with it. I think they would lose half their navy again, and it could be worse than that.
It could be worse than that, but I do not like, and I don't know the reasoning for the Gerald Ford heading back to Virginia. But again, Robert Charles, Assistant Secretary of State under George W. Bush, says we have a reaction.
We should be deterring. And what that means is you get as specific as you can without giving away the store. So you don't tell them exactly what you're going to do, but you make it crystal clear that if there is any aggressive act taken by Iran in the Red Sea, not only the United States, but all of our allies will come down like a ton of bricks on whoever the provocateur is. And that means potentially taking out the Houthi rebels completely. It also means taking out any Iranian warship that acts in an aggressive manner against international trade or commercial shipping, never mind against one of our ships or allies' ships in the region, period.
Period. Biden's numbers, by the way, are down in every category. But are they enough to sink him, assuming he is still in the running in 2024?
I think what has happened is the attempt of the White House to sort of pander to these different voting groups throughout the first 3 years of the presidency has not worked, and there really needs to be a major course correction. The White House has got to stop listening to the far left and start going much more to the political center. Build an economy that's based on the private sector, not government jobs. Close the borders, or secure the borders, rather. And build a philosophy that is based on equal opportunity and not equal outcomes. And I think until the White House makes that course correction, you're going to see problems with all of these numbers.
Then there are a lot of numbers to have problems with. I want to break them down for you. But again, I want you to hear again from, that was Julian Epstein on some of Biden's failings, on how much Biden is down.
I don't think there's any question about that. I think there's no ability to sugarcoat it. Voters don't like what they are seeing with the Biden economy. They think most have gotten poorer given inflation and interest rates. They don't think Biden is capable to manage the country anymore, and that's showing up in the numbers. I hate to say that I voted for Biden, but I think there's no way of talking point your way around that. But what the Suffolk poll is showing is that there is a major problem with the White House having relied far too much on sort of the progressive left. The progressive left has wanted to pander to Hispanics with open borders. We've seen now a huge hemorrhaging of Hispanic support. Biden won 65-35 and 220. Now in a three-person race, Biden is losing the Hispanic vote. With black voters, you've seen sort of DEI quotas almost every place you turn, and we're seeing a loss of black support in the double digits.
They do have a lot of problems going on. In the meantime, David Axelrod, who served in the Obama administration, in response to the fact that maybe if elected, DeSantis or Haley have said, if we're elected, if Trump is convicted of anything, we're going to give him a pass.
I think that it's good politics for them because they're both catering to the Trump base in saying that, and I think that is a large motivation for them. I saw Adam shaking his head, and I understand why, and I know how passionate he is, as I am, about what Trump did to the country. I do think it's a real question as to what it would mean to actually imprison a former president, and that's something that's going to weigh heavily on the next president's mind and on the mind of sentencing judges if he's ever convicted. But, you know, one thing we should say is that he may never get there if he's successful in delaying these trials until after the election. I think that's his strategy.
It is a strategy, and I'm sure it's going to end up working for him. And again, these numbers you're looking at, under 35 age voters, Biden has 33%, Trump has 37%, Hispanic voters, Biden 34%, Trump 39%. Black voters, Biden had 87% in 2020. Now he's down to 63%. Aaron Perrine.
They are now going to be targeting minority communities. The White House doing more outreach to try and shore up and bring those voters back on board. But another point here, when you look at this polling, isn't that Donald Trump is building more within these coalitions? We've seen slight movement, but it's not like these voters are leaving Joe Biden and going to Donald Trump, especially with black voters. They're looking at a third party candidate as a possibility there. That's a spoiler for Democrats if that is the case come the 2024 election. Here, if there is a third party candidate that is pulling their coalition voters away, that is really not a direct vote for Trump, but a passive vote for Trump, because taking those votes away from Biden softens his support and just strengthens the ground that Donald Trump is standing on.
Everything there is against what would be beneficial for Biden. As Aaron Perrine, who had been with the Trump campaign, back to David Axelrod, who had been with the Obama camp, he says, everything they keep throwing at Trump is blowing up on them.
All of this is strengthening him in the Republican primary. We've run this experiment. He's only gained since he started getting indicted. What you thought might be kryptonite for him has turned out to be battery packs. And this is a big one for him. Presumably, the Supreme Court will deal with it fairly quickly. And I expect that they will leave him on the ballot. And yes, Brianna, I have very, very strong reservations about all of this. I do think it would rip the country apart if he were actually prevented from running, because tens of millions of people want to vote for him. I think if you're going to beat Donald Trump, you're going to probably have to do it at the poll.
That is the only way to do it. The Harvard president has resigned. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
It's been a very busy year for Wellington Environmental. Tom and his staff had traveled all over making sure that minor issues don't become major disasters. Then there are the times Wellington is called in for emergencies, but nothing Wellington hasn't seen before. They have certified inspectors, chemists, scientists, environmental planners, and that's just some of their expertise. That is why the St. Louis Business Journal gave Wellington such a high ranking. So what will 2024 bring? No one knows, but if you take time to visit the Wellington Environmental Facebook, you're going to see things that might explain health issues at your home or business affecting you, your family, clients. Wellington Environmental Facebook. Tom Wellington and the entire staff wish you a blessed 2024. Your world, cleaner, better, safer. So, as always, be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local and global.
Oh, people, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local, really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9/94.1 and NewsTalkSTL.com.
As a truck driver, I've learned how important road safety is. I know that large trucks need more time and room to stop. That's why I always hang back and follow other vehicles at a safe distance. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're driving, try to remember to always give trucks extra space when you merge in front of them. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Car and Driver magazine says the 2024 Toyota Land Cruiser is cool and affordable. 2024 Toyotas are showing up every day ready for immediate delivery at Ackerman. In fact, Toyota has awarded Ackerman more vehicles than all competitors. Check it out yourself at Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44, or online, AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota will get you the best deal. Ackerman Toyota, for life.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Well, as we told you earlier, the Harvard president has decided I'm out of here. Well, not quite. I'm leaving my office, but I'm still going to be on campus because I am still a professor. I want you to something to keep in mind for you. This professor, whether she is the Harvard president or she's just serving lunch, she has been caught numerous times plagiarizing work. Anyone who wants to go into Harvard, and if they find evidence that you have plagiarized, do you think you have a chance of being admitted? Of course you don't. Why would that be? Well, because your work is copying someone else. I don't mean that you're just using them as a citation, which you're certainly allowed to do. Anyone who's ever prepared a book report or something of that nature, you know that you have to cite your services. In some cases, she did, and she said to the others, oh, my bad, I forgot to put that down. But in other times, she simply copied word for word for word as if it were her thoughts. But, of course, all this suddenly came to light, and I'm thinking in her mind, when she was called along with the University of Pennsylvania president, and the MIT president to come forward and to talk about their policies when it comes to hate speech on campus. She probably knew she was going to get a few questions reference anti-Semitism, and so did the MIT and the University of Pennsylvania president. They all probably had some ideas. And they were pretty well prepared for it because they obviously copied off each other's homework. They all gave the same damn answer. Well, it depends upon the context. It does not depend upon the context. But that's what they would have you believe. And so, therefore, they reiterated, echoed the same number. It depends upon the context over and over again. Well, she resigned officially today. following plagiarism, and my guest in the preceding hour, Harvard grad John Laboutière, the author of the book Harvard Hates America, 40-plus years ago, now since out of print. Keep telling John you need to bring it back. I guarantee you people buy it. A lot of my listeners do not like John Laboutière, but he said this is good that she's out. And then she's out not because of her bumbling remarks about anti-Semitism and what they would do for students, but what she believed she was doing to get her doctorate and her professorship, her dissertations. It comes now 6 months and 2 days into her presidency, which according to the Harvard Crimson, which is the paper published by Harvard, that is the shortest term in history. Still unclear who's going to end up appointing or serving as the interim anyway. But she began her resignation letter, and I'm just telling you, if you have Kleenexes nearby, you might want them. If you're driving, please don't let your eyes get so filled with tears you can't see the cars in front of you. I do not want to be blamed for causing a wreck. And if you're laughing tears of joy, I don't want to be blamed for that one either. Dear members of the Harvard community, it is with a heavy heart, but a deep love for Harvard, that I write to share I will be stepping down as president. Being forced out. Oh, she didn't add that part. I did that. My bad. She said, this is not a decision I came to easily. Oh, I bet it wasn't. I'll bet it was. I'll bet she fought tooth and nail. You're going to fire me, a black woman, the head of Harvard, and all the money I can bring you? You're going to fire me from this position? And the Harvard board, by the way, had written a statement prior to this happening. We stand with her. She is our president. We're not changing. But then all the stories about plagiarism began to surface. Then she adds, but after consultation, this is a come to Jesus meeting. Let's get it honest. It's not a consultation with the members of the board. It was a come to Jesus meeting, like, what the hell have you done to us and our reputation? It has become clear that it is in the best interest of Harvard for me to resign. Now, that part is correct. It is in their best interest to kick her arse out the door. And yet, she is going to be able to stay as a professor. Oh, I can't wait to see the students who will sign up for that class. Maybe she'll do a class on plagiarism. She knows the subject very well. She got her doctorate, basically, based upon plagiarism. Why shouldn't she do one on that? She said, when I became president, I considered myself particularly blessed by the opportunity to serve people from around the world. Now, here's where it gets into the nitty-gritty of why she was chosen, and she knows it. My opportunity to serve people from around the world who saw in my presidency a vision of Harvard that affirmed their sense of belonging. Yes, you can be a black woman and be at Harvard, but not only at Harvard, but you can rise to be president. A vision of Harvard that affirmed their sense of belonging. Their sense that Harvard welcomes people of talent and promise from every background imaginable to learn from and grow with one another as to how to learn plagiarism. Oh, I did it again. I'm sorry. Sometimes my thoughts just jump into the page. I can't help it. And then she adds, to all of you, please know that these doors remain open and Harvard will be stronger and better because they do. I want you to keep something else in mind. Harvard had been hit with a discrimination lawsuit by Asian students some time ago. Remember that? And they had to admit, yeah, we were guilty of discrimination. See, they were thinking, if we just take care of the blacks, we're okay. They were dismissing the other, and in particular, Asian students, because their grades were higher. So I hope I will be seen, or this will be seen, as a moment of reawakening to the importance of striving to find our common humanity. Why not say an awakening to all of us that you have to do your work yourself? You can't copy, you can't plagiarize someone else. I'm looking through this. There is not one mention anywhere in here about the plagiarism issues. Nope. I'm going through it over and over again here in front. Very quick read. Blah, 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 blah. No, it ends up saying, I trust we will all find ways in this time of intense challenge and controversy. Who's being challenged? Where's the controversy? It's mainly on her and the university, of course, to recommit ourselves to the excellence. So if you can plagiarize effectively, you could become professor and even doctor and even president of the school, commit ourselves to the excellence, the openness, the independence that are crucial in what our university stands for. And what does Harvard stand for now? A high-priced school. That's what it stands for. It is not the only Poison Ivy League school with such a standing, and there are a lot of schools down below that that are also caught up in all of this. Then the Harvard Corporation released its own statement, echoing her claims of racist attacks. No one is after her because of her race, but they're going to pull that card anyway. If a student came in and presented a plagiarized report, they're not going to kick them out and give them trouble because of their race. It could be submitted under the transom. They never even see the student. But they realize this is copied work. It's not properly noted and absolutely given attribution to the actual source. It's cheating. They would not care. And then they go on to down deeper into it and say, we do this with such sorrow. President Gay has acknowledged missteps. Those are not missteps. When are they going to stand accountable? That's not a misstep. That's a flat-out lie and a cheat. And she's taken responsibility for them. No, she hasn't. Not in anything in her wording of her language did she say, I plagiarized this, and I did that, and I was wrong. Not one word. Not one word of apology or that I did anything wrong. It is with a heavy heart. I want to share that I'm stepping down. Not easy to come to this. I look forward to working with you. It's become clear in the best interest for me to resign. It's a singular honor to be a member of this university. Been my home and inspiration. There is not one word of apology. Not one word. Not one word of apology. And Harvard just wants to smooth out the waters and keep going. All of this coming 3 months after her, after the October 7th Harvard, the Hamas terrorist attack against Israel, when she could not decide from the rivers of the sea was a genocidal slogan. That's what you get for being so smart. You outsmart yourself. Coming up, Joe Biden's coming after everything you've got. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, "We got a John Beale roof based on your recommendation." Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beale, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Ackerman Toyota has the 2024 models. You're going to be impressed. Check them out in person at Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. In fact, you've got to see the 2024 Toyota Sequoia. Very impressive. This is the time to buy and get top dollar for your vehicle. Looking for pre-owned? Ackerman Toyota can also help you. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perished in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
One of the five most traumatic experiences in life is moving. I can assure you that McGuire Moving can help ease that pressure. Moving into a new home or a new business, locally, internationally, McGuire is rated number one. More than 80 years of experience. Free estimate, call McGuire, 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Must be the whiskey. I've been drinking to remember and drinking to forget. I got I love you on my mind. I got Jim Beam on my breath and loneliness has got the rest. I've got nothing left within me. Must be the whiskey.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You know, of course, the Epstein names are going to be coming out, and we've already been told that we have Bill Clinton on the list. Should be no surprise to anyone. But, of course, there will be explanations as to, well, he didn't really do this or do that. And they may end up having Trump on the list, and if he's guilty of anything, fine. I want to share something with you from The Federalist. It's titled, "Will Unmasking Epstein's Clients Finally Wake Americans Up to Our Human Trafficking Crisis?" This is written by a woman who serves as president and CEO of Concerned Women for America. It's the nation's largest public policy women's organization, 40 years. Actually bringing biblical principles into all levels of public policy. That's been a tough fight, no doubt about it. But the headline itself says everything, doesn't it? Will this be a time that America will face up to its human trafficking crisis? And it's happening even as I speak. When you lay down tonight and you go to close your eyes, if an image flashes across your mind about a young boy or girl being brought across the border and maybe tied up in some sex bondage den at this point, experiencing stuff you don't even want to know, and certainly a child shouldn't experience. We cannot allow this kind of activity. We cannot allow these pimps of these various cities selling women on the streets. Now, all along, many of us have been told prostitution harms no one. It's not a crime. That's not true if you know the real story. If a woman decides on her own that she can pick up some extra money like that and dress up really nicely and go sit in a bar and see a guy, and she goes over and starts flirting with him. And at the time, maybe he thinks it's just that. And then they end up having a relationship. You know what I mean. Once a dollar amount has been decided, she's a prostitute. She may be a mother of five and head of her PTA, but that's what she is at that point. But if she's doing it on her own, it's her decision. Now, she may be doing it because of economic factors, or she just wants to do it, or maybe she enjoys it. But many of those are controlled by pimps, and they're taking a cut of the money, and they often will cut the woman, literally, if they're not performing to what they want and not bringing the money they want. Penny Nance, who wrote this for The Federalist, says, it is time we demand that sexual exploitation is treated as a vile, despicable, intolerable behavior we know. And then she cites the State Department, stating that just in 2021, of what they know, and you know they don't know everything, State Department figures in 2021 show 6.3 million people, that would include men, women, and children, were forced into commercial sexual exploitation. 1.7 million believed to be children. And, of course, we have all of these coming across the border. We also have container ships arriving from various countries, and often inside there are crowded women, sometimes children, sometimes boys, with nothing more but a little bit of water to get by on their journey across the ocean or various ports they may stop at, and maybe one pot for them all use. They're damn near dead when the doors are open. But now comes Jeffrey Epstein and his John Doe list. The New York Post has already stated former President Bill Clinton will be revealed as John Doe 36. Those documents unsealed this week. And Britain's Prince Andrew is to appear on the list. Now, these would be, you think, okay, relationships with women, all right, you know, you might not like it. I could care less about Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky, except that it happened in the White House. In the White House. But if these victims, according to the Epstein list, were young girls that got groomed to do this, some as young as 14. There needs to be a price paid, and I mean a heavy price. But on history from 1994 through 2001, Epstein and his cohort, I should say, Maxwell, Chris Ghislaine, whatever her name is, Maxwell, and their wealthy and famous friends ran a racket of abuse and vile sexual exploitation of children for years. She's now serving a 20-year prison sentence. Apparently, Epstein would identify vulnerable girls, typically from a single mother household, and difficult financial circumstances, and they'd be perfect victims. Epstein would then exploit the girls, and even their mothers would bring the girls to him in exchange for money, thinking that they were helping their children. Many, like in Mexico, might be turning their children loose to the drug cartels willingly, thinking, well, they'll have a better life. They may not have any life. But the judge wants the identities of more than 150 in those court documents, the crimes of Epstein, to be fully unveiled. We have a lot of high-ranking politicians and big names running around thinking, oh, my God, what am I going to do? They probably already made calls to their lawyers. Hey, this could be happening. I don't know that I did this. I don't know that I did it. I mean, they might have my name on there anyway, but I didn't. And they're already making their excuses. And the lawyers are going to do the job, is what they're paid to do, is to protect their client, give them the best defense possible. If they don't, another lawyer will step in and do it. There is a movie, of course, I'm sure many of you have seen. The one about the children's Sound of Freedom. Children being abused for profit. It starts with a single father offering money for his kids to pose as models at a photo shoot. And the charming woman trafficker, so kind and concerned for the welfare of the children, when the father returns to pick them up, they're gone. They're gone. As the film says, God's children are not for sale. I have not watched that movie. It's come up two or three times, and I'm telling you, if this is just one of these movies, if it involves children, I think you probably should watch it. I think I probably should, but I just won't do it. I just can't bring myself to do it. And it's going on even as we speak. Let me turn your attention to something else. We have talked about this before, but now we're seeing it happen. A Washington, D.C.-based environmental law institute created the Climate Judiciary Project back in 2018, the first of its kind to provide, quote, reliable, up-to-date information about climate change litigation, according to the group. Now they're going to work on dealing with judges, saying we're trying to teach judges about the climate laws and so forth and what they need to be doing. They have apparently already reached judges from across the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th federal courts, some of those in New York City, Boston and Puerto Rico. They say we have another 100 judges we're working on. The midwinter meeting of the 9th Federal Circuit also is going to get more for them. In 2022, last year, they led 80 events, or not the year before, that included policy forums and boot camps about Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, Decarbonization, Endangered Species Act. Would you not put children in that? No, they didn't do that. It doesn't fit the agenda. But they're out there teaching judges how to make a ruling that will affect your life because of carbon pollution. While the jet setters are crossing the sky in their private jets with one to two on a plane at a time, saying you shouldn't even be on a jet, even on a commercial airliner. We know Joe Biden, Kamala, and all of the progressives are after that. But take note here. Listen carefully. Joe Biden is after more than that. Joe Biden is now after your cars. You know that. He's after your gas stoves. You know that. He's after your gas heaters. But wait, 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 wait. There's another Joe Biden is coming after. Joe Biden coming after you.
They really want to control not only what you can eat, how you can cook it, how you can get it, and it's a real danger because when we look at these regulations, they're going to have little impact on the environment, helping things out, making things better, but they're going to have a major impact on the way you live and your ability to make money and the economy. The government is historically horrible when they try to dictate how things should be made, whether it be refrigerators or ice cream makers or cars, it's always a disaster. You know, and when we talk about, you know, forcing people into more efficient, refrigerators and furnaces, what that means is going to make the cost of housing that's already through the roof more expensive. People aren't going to be able to afford these things. So they're going to either have less efficiency or they're going to go without. You know, take a look at the electric car situation. They're trying to force everybody to buy electric cars, but they don't think of the long-term impact on the environment. A lot of these electric cars are ending up in junk heaps with toxic batteries that have no way to be recycled. So I don't think they think these things through, but that's the government. They never do.
They never do. That's a financial analyst, Phil Flynn appearing on Fox, say they never think it through, but they're going to make it more expensive for you. That they have thought through. And you heard him mention some of the other things. They're going after your air conditioners and your refrigerators because they want to control more greenhouse emissions. And, of course, everyone says those rules are going to mean your appliances are going to cost you more. According to one analysis, recent energy regulations proposed or finalized by the Biden administration would, on average, make your water heater cost you $2,800 more. $2,800 more. Gas stoves as much as $3,200 more. Air conditioners, $1,100 more. Gas furnaces, at least $500 more. Everything I just read, they're dealing with, and it's going to cost you more. It's a well-thought-out plot. Of course, they're going to live fine in their air-conditioned mansions, have gas stoves for one of their private chefs to come over and cook what they want. They're not going to worry about that at all. You? Come on. You're just a commoner. I love this piece by Diana Furchett Roth. She wrote, she's the director for Center for Energy, Climate, and Environment at the Heritage Foundation. She said, and the title says it all. I told you this story the other day, and I had doubts about it then. Her title says, Associated Press Gets It Wrong. Contractors acknowledge turbines. The wind contractors acknowledge their turbines hurt dolphins and whales. She adds that when the turbine companies wanted permission to harm sea life, reporters for the Associated Press blamed the Heritage Foundation, where she works, instead of reporting the facts. She said it was a Chico Marx moment. Who are you going to believe, me or your own eyes? That misleading AP article, which we also ran for you, but I told you I had doubts about it, carried by WBTS-TV in Boston, the Daily Star in a part of New York, a station in Philadelphia, and others all stating, and I quote, scientists say there is no credible evidence linking offshore wind farms to whale deaths, and added, offshore wind farm opponents are using unsupported claims about harms to whales to try to stop the project. Some of the loudest opposition centered in New Jersey. The Associated Press reporter stated clearly, one of our vocal components of offshore wind is the Heritage Foundation, her group. She said, if those four reporters had actually done their homework, they would have mentioned environmental impact filings with the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration explaining sounds generated by their activities will harm ocean mammals. There were a couple that were built off New Jersey, and as they ramped up their offshore activity, 31 dead whales washed up on New Jersey and surrounding beach. They went to another location, 30 whales, 3,000 dolphins, 82 porpoises, all got messed up because of the sound waves. And while we were told it would be negligible, it wasn't so negligible for the whales, nor the seals, nor the porpoises. They all beached and died. Who are you going to believe? Me or your own eyes? Well, you know me. I tell you, check every source. Check me out. I don't care. I'll always attribute the source. I'm not going to plagiarize it, but I'll attribute. But check it out. Get the facts. And above all, remember our pledge. One nation under God.